Can you just say after me? If you have your Bibles open to the book of Colossians chapter 1, let's just read that one from there. It's a routine of prayer that I just feel that we should be taking every time. I'm taking from verse 9, I'm modifying it. So everybody just say after me. Say, I'm filled with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. I please Him in all respects. I bear fruit in every good work. And I increase in the knowledge of God. I'm strengthened with all power. According to His glorious might. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's say one more time. Say, I'm filled with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. I please Him in all respects. I bear fruit in every good work. And I increase in the knowledge of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe that, say amen. All right, today I just wish to, well, let's see how it goes. But my plan is to finish that discussion we have been having on how to pray for a nation. And of course, don't ever forget it, the fact that God plans something. Let me just explain this to us again quickly. You know, we have to keep saying these things until people understand and imbibe, you know, the stuff so that it becomes a very part of the fiber of their beings. It's very important we keep saying it. God has an order. There's a way He created things to be. The sovereignty of God is different from lawlessness. What I'm going to say is this. Once I was speaking with a reverend gentleman, this was many years ago, and I said that God could not have made Peter betray Jesus Christ, that it had to be Judas that would betray Jesus. And he was saying, no, that God is sovereign. He was a reverend gentleman. You know, I'm a reverend. It's an ordained clergyman. He said that that God is sovereign. God can do anything. I said, listen, there's a difference between sovereignty and lawlessness. All right? I'm summarizing everything we have said. I want to just bring out some few points again. I said, there is a difference between sovereignty and lawlessness. Lawlessness is you just do anything you like. Are you getting my point? Anytime you like, and you just do it, not minding what you did yesterday. All right? Well, somebody, I don't know how many ever watched, what's the name of this? This reality show on TV with Donald Trump. Apprentice. The Apprentice, yes, The Apprentice. Once a man just came from The Apprentice and they went and say, how was it? He said, Donald Trump is a man with a broken moral compass. Now, when an American tells something is broken, that's an American English for it's bad, it's spoiled, it's not working. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what they mean when they say something is broken. It doesn't mean it's smashed like glass. It means this thing is not working, all right? If I get to your house and your clock is not working, I'll tell you the clock is broken. That's how Americans speak. So he said that Donald Trump has a broken, all right, moral compass. And what was he saying? And actually, I had a complaint too when I watched that program before. Donald Trump is a big boss. He can fire anytime he likes. But there's something, I'm watching it a number of times, I noticed, especially after the first season. I realized that he didn't have any set of rules. He just wakes up in the morning. He said that, what happened? You talk to your friend like that, you shouldn't be talking to your friend like that. You are fired. Are you getting my point? That is so, I mean, people will do things that I considered personally honorable and to be emulated, things you teach your children to do. And Donald Trump will fire you for it. That, listen, you should understand that in business, all right, it's not like that. You know, stuff like that. So that man came back from an experience under that, in that reality TV show and said, this man has a broken moral compass. And when I saw him say that, I said, I agree with him totally. Now, that's what people think that sovereignty is. Sovereignty doesn't mean you just do what you like because you are God anytime you like it. Sovereignty only means that you set the laws. The sovereignty of God means He makes the laws. But once He makes the laws, He keeps the laws too. That's what I want you to understand. I am not taking anything away from God's sovereignty. I'm just explaining the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign in that He is a lawgiver. Once He makes the laws, He keeps the laws Himself. What I mean is this. If He says the heavens are the heavens of the Lord,
and the earth he has given to the sons of men, what it means that he respects that order. I need to emphasize that all the time. Please, I can't say it enough. While we are talking about how to pray for the nation, is for us to understand that what happens in a nation is dependent not only on the will of God, but also on how the people on the earth respond to it. God only decrees as a judge, and he does not always decree that which is his will. What God does with his will is to communicate it to his children on the earth, and they will now pray and say, "Thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven." Do you hear what I said? That's how the will of God is handled. He communicates his will. You know, somebody said something. My brother and I were chatting during the week, and this was interesting. One of us explained that in the university that the children go to, there's this doctrine that some people are introducing around, and they said that anything that happens is according to the will of God. Now, follow that. That they said anything that happens is according to the will of God. And one brother who is a minister, he responded and said, if that was true, then when Peter sank, it was the will of God. I don't know whether you got that. They said Peter walked on water, and then he sank. He said, if that's true, then that was the will of God, which we know it wasn't. Because Jesus said, the reason why you sank was because what? You doubted. That even though God is in the heavens, and he desired that Peter should walk, and he uttered the word that Peter come, which gave him the ability to walk on water. The moment Peter took his eyes away from that word, he began to sink. And Jesus said to him, the reason, I'm paraphrasing now, the reason why you sank was not because I didn't want you to walk on water. It was because you did not do the thing that was necessary to ensure that my will came to pass in your life. Are you getting my point? So like I say all the time, God's will has to be, please try and follow what I'm going to say. God's will has to be, which word do I use now? Okay, God's will has to be, find me a word now. I don't want to use the word executed, but that's the closest I can think of to it now. Okay, let's just use that for a moment. God's will has to be executed by mankind. So that is why you and I must learn the will of God. Did you understand what I said? Because it's only after we have learned the will of God, and then we will not decree and speak or pray and whatever it is with the will of God, that the will of God is now done on the earth. Which was why Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is written in heaven." If that prayer was not necessary, he would not have taught his disciples. Let me say this, that's how your life is also. And what prayer is for you to decree the will of God over every situation. I'm not saying that I say, God, let your will be done. Let your will be done. That's not what I mean. Not a passive decreeing of the will of God, but an active decreeing and say, this is the will of God. Let it be done. Last time I talked about praying for judgment. It is the will of God that iniquity be judged. One of the mistakes we make in praying, we used to make, I pray we won't make it anymore, is to make it appear as if God must not judge iniquity, that it is not in line with his will. It is not so. The will of God is that iniquity must be judged, and my understanding of it, I think it's correct, is that if we don't say that, it will not be judged, are you getting my point? And then eventually, destruction will have to come upon the whole land. Please, let's follow that very, very closely. I want to say this again and again. Everything you say, everything you do as a believer, especially with your words, is affecting what is going on around you. It is. It is. It is not honest. It is not, when I say honest now, it's not innocent, like I did not mean it. No. What has that got to do with what is going on? The way you and I respond when you open the pages of your newspaper, all right? The way you respond to the things you hear, the kind of things that arise from your heart concerning the land is very important. Without it, if God wanted to do A, and nobody, none of us agreed that A should be done, A will not be done. Please, what I'm saying is very, very important. That's why I said, as far as I understand it now, the way, I know Satan is very crafty. He's very crafty. He deceives people through his subtlety, and then he makes sure that what he wants done is what is done. What do I mean by that? If I, let me just give this example, all right? I'm digressing, but let me just digress to help you. Amen? I shouldn't digress. I should digress. So say amen now.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. So that you can agree with me. You know, I gave an illustration some time ago. You've heard this one before, that a man is having problems, and he goes to some people that God will soon judge, and they say it's his mother that's causing his problem, that his mother is a witch. You've heard that thing before? Yes, you've seen it. Has it happened to you? No, don't say amen to that one. I'm sure it's happened to somebody that you know. You sit at home, the fellow sits at home, he's praying, they now go, a prophet sees a vision. Now, you must understand, that prophet actually, there are two kinds of prophets. There are prophets that lie. They did not see any vision. You just give them money and they say what you want to hear. Yes, there are prophets like that. Okay? God will also punish them rapidly. All right? That's one set. But there are prophets that they are not themselves at that point in time, they are not lying. In that they are not saying something that they do not have a very serious reason to say. I was still listening to this message, this story I've used to illustrate something here for us before. Derek Prince, who said he was casting out a demon from a woman who had a familiar spirit. And suddenly that this woman wanted to be delivered. All right? Maybe she was into witchcraft and stuff like that. And the man was casting the demon out of her. And she suddenly had the vision. And saw Derek Prince in a car that had an accident. All right? And had jammed against a tree. And the man was inside a car that had the accident, which had been crumbled against, he hit a tree. And he said to him, "Oh, I see you in a red car that was crashed on a tree." And the man said simply, "All right, what you have seen is the will of Satan, the plan of the devil for my life, except that I don't walk in the plan of the devil." So it was not a matter of prayer point. Let us pray. Everybody pray for me. They saw it. And if you hear Pastor Banks say it's a lie, he said they really saw it. That woman, she saw something. Last year, she told my cousin that he would fail an exam. Do you know the boy was very smart and he failed. 2 years ago, he didn't remember. Last week, then you give 10 instances of things that the fellow saw. And it came to pass. And to you, that's a validation of the prophetic ministry of that Satan worshiper. Yeah, it's very important you understand it. That's why when you go to white garment churches and all those prophets that are always seeing things, they will see things. It's called familiar spirit. So that's the second type of prophet. And it's also in the scriptures like that. I have a number of examples, all right? One of the best examples is the one that God sent, not Satan. God sent to the mouth of the prophets that were prophesying for Ahab. And Jehoshaphat was there. And they prophesied. And those prophets were not lying. Please, you must understand what I'm saying. They were not lying as in, they had a reference. But what they had in their mouth was a lying spirit. So they were not the ones lying. It was the spirit that possessed them that was lying. So the guy felt under an unction. He felt he had something to say. He said the thing and he felt it was accurate. Now this is the point. Will it come to pass? It depends on who you are. Now, please, I started that from somewhere. Let me not, I almost forgot where I started from now. Let me really get back there now that I have remembered. Are you getting my point? Now, I'm going somewhere. How Satan is very subtle. So some of these people, they walk in there, and one of those prophets, that is, depending on the type of prophet the fellow is, says to him that your mother is a witch. When you went home, 3 weeks ago, she met you at the gate, did she not? Now, the familiar spirit is telling him stories of what really happened. But you, because you only study physics and engineering, are you getting my point? And biology. You think everything is mechanical, biological, and physiological. Are you getting my point? You cannot understand why a spirit will know what happened in your village 400 kilometers away. Your mother met you at the gate, did she not? Yes. Normally, when you come, she's inside the house. And then you quickly, you know, your mind grows through it. Yes, yes, yes. That is true. That is true. That is true. Okay? Do you know why she met her at the gate? They had planned. And of course, you know, after that, since she was right, the joker was right on that. You know, you believe every other thing. So, prophet, what do I do? You will go and bring areas of tithe of the last 2 years with which you were doing your business. Which is where, this is where the whole thing started from anyway. It was so that the guy can eat. Now, I've been telling you, poverty is a very terrible thing, you know. Man starts seeing all kinds of visions when he's too poor. Then he says to you, now this is where I tell you the whole story. He now says to you simply, don't go home again. I know what happens to the man. He doesn't go home again. And you have to be careful who you give your money to. If you give your money to a witch, you empower the witch. That's where I'm going. And so what, you know what happens? He stops giving his mother money. That's what I call the subtlety of the devil. You know what the devil was trying to do? The devil wanted to kill him all these years. He could not. Why? That woman was praying for him. That's why I'm saying Satan is very subtle. Let me just pray a prayer for you. And pray for you. Pray for yourself every day. May God give you understanding.
Amen.
May you not be confused in life.
Amen.
May you not believe a lie.
Amen.
Many people, I've seen them. I've seen them. They're in bondage. And they think they are into freedom. Satan just exchanges one form of bondage for another. What I'm talking about, how subtle the guy is this. He has taken that man away from the only source of help that he had. In the office, they don't like him. They are jealous of him. So that one, now swear, they swear for him every day. They wake up in the morning. This man, no go bet. That is, this man, he just die. That's what they are wishing him for. Satan can't use that. He's not powerful enough. He did not offend those people. Do you get my point? And one person there is praying for him every day, and that is his mother. Satan says, how can I ensure that this woman stops praying? He now leads the joker to a lying prophet, and he sends a lying spirit into the mouth of the joker, of the prophet, who now tells this joker man, now you get what I'm saying, that your mother is your problem. And if he believes it, he's dead meat. Why? Because the only person making intercession for him has just been withdrawn from the job. So, he buys a new car, but the mother is not eating well. And the mother gets to hear. You understand what I'm saying? After a while, even though she loves him, she's pained. Now, why is my son this wicked? Unless I was not the one that breastfed him, that's it, he's dead. By the time the woman starts uttering curses in his direction, in the office, they cursed him. The last girlfriend he jilted, he still, that one is still cursing him every day. He has his photograph on the wall. You go die. You go die. The only person that was sustaining this fellow was his mother. And that one added, unless I was not the one that breastfed him. That's when God will not judge. And that's actually what God is going to do. Judge. Why? Because it's in the scriptures that he that does that to his mother, his lamp will go out in the time of darkness. So she's suddenly an accuser. You know what Satan has done? He has recruited everybody onto his side. Then one day the man is walking on the road. Just gets a headache. Whoom! And he gets a stroke and just dies like that. And Satan says, ah, now wow, to kill this guy, 18 years, only you. Now, you understand what I'm going to explain? He's very subtle. He's very subtle. I'm going somewhere. I know that my digression, although I've made my point, it also has helped some people. Ah, let me sit on it for a moment. Please, learn the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
One day, my wife's friend was standing with her, and somebody said, a beggar came. I said, please give me money to eat. Now, listen to how Satan deceives people. He said, if you give him money, now, they said, some of these people, you give them money, they'll take away your luck. Have you heard that before? You give a beggar money, it will take away your luck. The first question you ask yourself is this. If I'm a child of God, Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. That is, the beggar can't take it away. The peace of God is not just be happy. The peace of God is spiritual power that's working in your life. Can a beggar take that away from you? Now, why I brought up that issue is this. It is a blessed thing to give to the poor. So when Satan wants to ensure that you are not blessed, he lies to you that if you give to the poor, they will remove your luck. Please, that's what I'm begging you. Daddy, my wife was so vexed. She said, you see, that's what your problem is. Told her friend, I have been warning you. Come and study the word of God. You will tell me you don't have time. Look at the nonsense adult like you is talking. That's why I prayed for you earlier. May God give you understanding. Amen. May you not believe a lie. Amen. God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Amen. So that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Very important. All right? Now, so let me explain that. Let me get back to the matter of praying for the nation. So I need to explain that to let you understand. One of the problems that we've had, like in a place, that in a country like ours, Satan will subtly tell us to bind the whole state. We can bind the whole state. That is, they say, Zamfara has declared Sharia. They will see. That it, but then you finish. You don't utter a word of intercession for the state. Now, remember, the intercession now is not just God bless, bless. No, I think we've established that. When you have God bless, God also has to judge iniquity. Yes. You have no, and I want to explain something briefly. That's why I'm saying all of this, and so I can conclude this this message today. Now, you are angry. That's what Satan does. You have a cousin, a village man, somebody who was killed in a bombing somewhere, and you are angry. And when enough of us, all right, become angry, we bind a place, and Jesus said, "Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be what? Bound in heaven." You know what that means? Even if God wanted to do miracles in that place, if all of us said were to sit down and say no, and nobody is saying yes, that's it. Miracle on suspension. I think if you don't get any other thing, get this thing very, very, very firmly in your mind. That you can't, oh God, listen. As a body of Christ, we can tell God, you will never evangelize this particular country. It is not as if we will go there and go and sit there and say, God, this country will never... We won't say it like that. You know, in fact, we are too nice. Are you getting my point? We won't be able to acknowledge that we said it. It's the way we respond when matters there come up. That's what I'm trying to explain. It's the way we respond. And even though God would... No, his will was to bless and, you know, release his power in that place... Oh, God, please. When I make this statement, you appear as if he's God. I'm aware. If he wasn't God, why would I be serving him? Even if he wanted, his deepest desire was to bless the place, and all of us said no. Guess what? The answer is what? The answer is what? No. He can't do anything. So what will he now do? He has a choice of two. One, to wait until all of us will have died and our children will have been raised up in understanding of truth and they will say yes. Or if he's too impatient for us to die naturally. I don't want to say the other side. Are you getting my point? He will hasten this thing so that somebody else can quickly come up and say yes. But somebody has to say yes. And listen, for those who have been saying yes to the blessing of God in this nation for a very long time, listen to me, the husbandman that labors will be the first partaker of the fruit. I didn't hear the amen well enough. Amen. Okay, maybe many people have not been saying the yes. If indeed from your heart you have been saying yes to God's blessing upon this nation, in this country you can never be poor. You will not fail.
Amen.
This land will not vomit you out.
Amen.
It will not happen in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That's a matter of fact. What I'm saying is just a matter of fact. That's how it works. Now, so that's the point I'm trying to make. That you see, Satan can be very subtle. So what he does is to get people angry. They are angry with Kano State. Sanusi is now Emir. How can? Eh? They are angry. Listen, forsake wrath. What did I say? Stop being angry. You see where my message is going, the main thing I want to say today, then I will close the whole series. Stop being angry. The reason is that if all of us say no, God can't say yes. Because he said to himself, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And why are we teaching the way we are teaching? So as to help the people of God pray properly. So that they can loosen on earth, so that God can loosen the same thing in the heavens. That's why you used to hear me preach. People say, divide it. You know, if enough Christians say divide it, it's divided. I don't know whether you hear what I said. If enough Christians say divide it, it's divided. If you're all in agreement, come and say, Anna, listen to me. I said, God does not, you know, God operates two ways. I've said it before. One as a judge. And what's a judge? A judge rules on the preponderance of evidence. That's his job. He does not do that which he wills. A judge doesn't do that. What he wants is not what he does. He does what has been argued, all right? And he has been persuaded about because the arguments are sound. That's what he does as a judge. So if we all agree that what God wants done will not be done, it will not be done. That's the point I'm making. But what is prayer there for? Now, I'm getting down to it now. Prayer for a nation is simply for us to give our voices, our words, our authority, all right, to that which God wants to do. That's what it is. Listen, the Bible makes it clear that it is the will of God that every man should believe, should hear the gospel and believe the gospel. And he said, the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are what? They are few. Therefore, he said, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest field. We talked about that a few weeks ago. And therefore, I said, listen, even though you don't want to go to Borno State, you don't want to go to Jigawa State, where else? You don't want to go to Yobe. There are, God has the ability to pour a spirit inside people and they will not want to leave the place. Therefore, what are you supposed to do? Stop binding the place. Stop binding the place. In your heart, assuming that they will never hear the gospel. Truth will never enter into the place. No, you must stop that. What do you do? And one active way by which you can ensure you are not doing that is to start uttering prayers specifically about those places. When you hear a negative report, then you start obeying the word of the Lord Jesus that said, send laborers into the harvest field. Now, this is where I'm going. As I want to say something today, I say that now I close, all right? Now, the mistake we make sometimes when it comes to prayer is that, now it's good to feel the agony. You understand my point? It's good to feel it from the bottom of your heart so that it twists your stomach. You want to, you don't, you can't do but pray. It's good. If it happens to you, praise God. Amen?
Amen.
But even if you don't feel like that, once you know the truth, what you do to truth is what? Utter it. Did you hear what I said? Let me say it again. Even if you think you are not feeling it, once you know the truth, your duty is to simply utter it. Therefore, how do you pray for a nation? We have been saying it, we talked about it before. Pray the Lord of the harvest. So as you are going on the road, you hear, you buy a newspaper, and here there was one bomb in Yobe. The normal human response, I've said they should divide this country. Why shouldn't they divide the country? They should divide the country. Well, I'm bringing an issue here. The response is not divided. The response is that, Lord, send laborers. Now, my emphasis is that you are not feeling it. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's not, God, look, God. You don't know anybody in Yobe, really. You know. You don't. But you're a Nigerian. It's part of your nation. It's part of your nation. All right? It is. So you have the right to speak. So simply you look at it and say, Lord, send laborers into your harvest field. Now, one of the things I learned from Derek Prince, you don't have to use big English. You don't even have to substitute the word Yobe for harvest field. No, yes, what I'm telling you is a matter of fact. You don't even have to substitute to say, just in your mind, just remember, you are looking at Yobe State, and you say simply to God, send laborers into the harvest field in the name of Jesus. It's a simple statement, except that every time you see something like that, that's how you respond. And that's how you consistently respond. What I like about such things is that it's so short, it's easy to say. Even when you are angry, you can say it. Your flesh is feeling angry, but your mouth can utter it. Send laborers into the harvest field. There's one prayer I'm praying for the, you know, the next year's election. Now, I know most Southerners have taken it for granted that good Lord Jonathan is winning. Forget it. What did I say? And I didn't say he will not win. Did I say that? What I'm saying is that forget taking it for granted. Now, what should you do? Let's think about it simply. If God wants to bless a nation, I'm not going to discuss that in details now. What he does is to give, one of the things he does is to give the nation, I'm reversing a particular scripture actually, when he wants to punish the Egyptians, he gives them into the hands of a cruel ruler. When he wants to bless a nation, he puts them into the hand of a very smart, intelligent, and benevolent ruler. That's what he does. So God, election is coming. Why should, how should a Christian respond? Please, there are prayers you are not allowed to pray. Let me say it again. There are prayers you are not allowed to pray. You cannot pray prayers like, God, no northern Muslim must be president again. It's a stupid prayer. You know why? I'll give you from the scriptures. The king that liberated Israel from captivity was not a Jew. He did not care, that is, as he was building gods for idols, temples for idols, so was he supporting the temple. He didn't care which god was correct. And yet God said concerning Cyrus that I called you by your name. I ordained that you will make my oppressed go free. The presidency of Nigeria is not a bishop position. It's not deacon. It didn't say, whosoever deserves the office of a president shall be the husband of one wife. No, it doesn't matter. Are you getting my point? Yeah, listen, you don't give criteria that God didn't give for a particular position. If it's pastor of your church you are praying for, are you getting my point? You can pray, say, Lord, according to the word of God, whosoever desires the office of a bishop must be, how did he say it again? That's the only one everybody remembers, husband of one wife. The other things inside there now. What is this? Is this wife matter and a serious matter? Anyway, there are many things. Must not be given to wine, must be apt to teach. You understand my point? You can pray those prayers. Are you getting my point? For the bishopric of a Christian assembly. You go to prayer and say, brother, let us pray. We are praying for the next president of Nigeria. He must be a husband of one wife. The Lord, the other ones have been coming. How many wives have they had? Are you getting my point? Now, the point I'm making is this. You don't give criteria that God did not give. That's one of the reasons why the prayers of Christians are not effective. This is how I pray, and I've begun to pray that prayer, and I'm asking you to join it also. If you are just starting now anyway, we are a bit late. We should have started it like 6 years ago, but it's better late than never, all right? Now, this is how you pray that prayer. Lord, give us leaders. One, who will uphold righteousness. It's a very simple prayer. Justice. And who by his decrees and laws, if we don't use decrees, the gospel of God will progress in this country. Now listen, even if the guy has 16 wives, it doesn't concern me. If he will fulfill this criteria, because the electoral, that position in the nation is not reserved for Christians alone. This statement I've made, many people sit in their homes and be arguing it. But one thing they cannot argue is that you can pray a simple prayer. Well, I'm just saying, don't add too many things to it. Prayer is not hard. Prayer is to take the word of God and utter it. Yesterday, my brethren, we gathered because for certain reasons, all right, and we began to pray. And one of the things I said to them, I was one leading the prayer. I said, what are we coming here to do? Of course, it's virtual prayer. Remember, virtual. When I say we gathered, I don't want to tell you where we gathered. You know what I'm saying? We gathered, you know, some people gathering somewhere in Abuja, somewhere over, not, you know, over in an island somewhere off Port Harcourt, somewhere in Benia or in Enugu, some in Warri, you know, different parts of the country. Anybody from outside the country? No, nobody from outside the country. But we gathered at a particular time, and I was the one leading the prayers. And one of the things I said to them simply is, I said, listen, the prayer here is not to shout and beg God for anything. It's just to lift the word of God up in the lives of our brethren. We're praying for our brethren. Some things happened, so we wanted to pray, all right? It's just to take the word of God and lift it up. We make a mistake sometimes. You see somebody, you've seen preachers who know how to speak big English when they are praying. When some people are praying, Honestly, when I pray, and when we're young Christians, it used to intimidate us. It was intimidating. So when you go and you've heard enough now. So when is your time to pray? You join all the things that everybody, of course, everything you heard them say before. You join it so that you feel like you are seriously praying. But oh God, as I began to learn the word, it got to a point. Once I prayed for my wife, she had to laugh. She laughed. Why did she laugh? She said, "You pray very funny." The prayer was one statement. That was when she was going to deliver, I think it was Olugbenga. Yes. Was it Akinlu? No, it was Olugbenga. It was a simple statement. I just uttered the word. Funny enough, that one was based upon the revelation. I had a dream a few days before. So it's as if God gave me that word to use to pray. I just said to her simply, where other people go, where many people go and they don't return, you walk in there and you walk back nicely like nothing happened. Amen. So she looked at us, "Have you finished?" "I finished." Isaiah laughed and said, "You pray very funny." I said, "What more do you want me to do? Okay, what do you desire more than what I have said?" Are you getting my point? Is it not what you desire that I have spoken, you know? That is what I have said. What more are you looking for? You want me to hold your hand and squeeze it? In the name of Jesus. I begin to call as it were, you know? Anytime I catch a pregnant woman, I give them one scripture. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 9. Just read that scripture. That is all. Because that scripture has said everything that you desire. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 9. It has said everything that you desire. Sometimes I think we talk too much. The Bible says that God is in heaven and you're on earth. What's the conclusion? He said, therefore, let your words be few. Too many words hinder trust me, it hinders the release of answers to prayers. Too many words. Because in the process, the Bible says, in the multitude of words, sin is, that is composed with sin, we enter somewhere. When you talk too much, let your words be. And listen, God doesn't need to be persuaded though, about those things. I hope you understand what I'm saying. It's not as if you talk long enough. Say, "Lord, I've come from work. Are you ready?" It's the same thing I've been saying for the last 3 weeks. But the way I said it, apparently you don't like it. So let's use another argument. And you keep on going round and round and round. There is nothing, listen to what I want to say. There is nothing you can persuade God to do. If he did not want to do it before, you will not be blessed by it. You hear what I said? If you have to talk God into doing that which he didn't want to do. Yeah, it happens. People can do it. He didn't want them to have meat in the wilderness. They asked for meat. They got the meat. They were not blessed by it. I have seen people pray God for things that he didn't want them to have. They got it and they wish they could return it. Yes. What I'm going to emphasize there is that we're not trying to persuade the Lord to do that which he didn't want to do. We are only saying that which you want to do. We are giving you our voice, our authority as, you know, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord. The earth you have given to us. So this is our land. We are saying, come and do it on our land. That's what we are saying. So that's what prayer is. It is simply that which is revealed. What is, you just repeat the same thing. If you have to talk about it, you just take that word and lift it up. That word becomes the standard that you lift up every time you have to utter a prayer about a thing. If I, one of the things I'm excited about in this short series of teachings we have done about praying for a nation, that one side of it we have not used for a long time is to decree judgment against iniquity in the land. Listen, you take those two things and you don't change your mind. Every time you have to do it, we talked about it. Number one, the most important thing that every nation on the earth needs is what? The gospel of Jesus. They don't need peace. They don't need prosperity. They don't need water. They don't need sun. They don't need rain. First of all, no. Those are the things that are added. The first thing they need is the light of the gospel. So if you have to pray for this nation is the first thing you always ask God for, including the penetration of the gospel into Sambisa Forest. Don't think God is afraid of the place. He's not. He's not. He is not. This book that Odejiku is holding there. I hold it up now since we were holding it before. The man inside that book, the man who wrote the book, once he said one day a very notorious criminal in their area was looking for him. He has armed guards, he has, you know, people like that. Did I say armed guards? He has armed touts around him. So one day he got up and walked into the man's, went to the man's den, knocked at the gate, said, "I want to see the big boss." And then walked in simply and told the man, "I heard you are looking for me. I have come, so let me see what you want to do to me." So, and that's just a Christian, not God himself. So what gives the impression God is afraid of Sambisa Forest? God can send a man. Americans can't find him. Nigerian army can't find him. God will just send one man. He walks in into Shekau's cave. Shekau, come. God sent me to you. And that one will start trembling. And that's not a joke. God just said, "God said, I should tell you, this is enough." He said it simply, "You have 24 hours to end this, or he will end it himself." Don't think God is afraid of such things. I told you about the book I read about how God is spreading the gospel inside Saudi Arabia. But we don't realize that these things can happen. So what do? We keep on closing and binding. And if we bind, remember I said at the beginning, he can't do anything. Our job is to do what? Loosen. Our job is to loosen. So I'm explaining the principle. That's what we do. When we're praying for the country, the first thing you do, always never forget it. Never forget it. Never forget it. The first thing we need in this country is not a stable currency. It's not good leaders. Are you getting my point? It's not economic prosperity. It's not security. The first thing we need is the gospel of Jesus to penetrate into every angle, every corner, every cranny of this country. And therefore, that must be the thing we utter every day. It must be the thing we utter every day. And what I mean by utter, it is simple. You've heard it. It is the will of God that nobody should perish, but everyone should come to the light of truth, come to repentance. So he said, how will they hear except somebody is sent? And Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into the harvest field. It's very simple. Therefore, you hear of cultism on the campus, because, you know, while are they everywhere? You have Boko Haram in the north, you have cults in the south. All of them, they do the same thing. So you hear of cultism on one campus in the south, you need to pray that prayer. Lord, send laborers into your harvest field. Anoint your men, anoint your children, anoint women, anoint everyone to go in and spread the gospel. As it is written, how will they believe except somebody is sent? So we are praying the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Send laborers into the harvest field. At such time, you start speaking in tongues. If you can, it is fine. If you can't, don't worry about it. Listen, it's good to pray in tongues though. Like Paul said, I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than ye all. So I believe in it totally, entirely. But I can assure you, no matter how good the tongue you are praying is, it is not superior to the revelation of the word of God that you utter simply. It's not superior. Your village needs road. Amen? Amen. They need water. Amen? Amen? But that need is inferior to the need of the gospel. So, when it's Christmas time, you pray the Lord of the harvest that when you get to the village, everybody's going around feeling very happy. You take a stroll around the place and say, every corner of this place, Lord, let your gospel fill the place. Every corner of this place, let your gospel penetrate into the Igwe's palace. Let your gospel penetrate down to the Juju man's cave. Let the gospel penetrate. Nobody's forcing you. Did somebody say, go there and go and preach? That's the problem with Christians sometimes. Zeal. Zeal without common sense. Are you getting my point? Yeah, they never pray the Bible. They say, yes, I can go there and go and preach. Okay? It's good. If you can go, did I say you shouldn't go? But in case you can't go, don't worry about it. You know, I think we worry too much. Do less worry. If the man, he will stone you if you come near his shrine to preach. Why go near his shrine to preach if they are going to stone you? So, Pastor, what are you saying? Jesus said, if you have stoned the one shrine, go to the next shrine. Is it not in the Bible? You never read it before? You stone Christians, you still want to preach there by force. And obey the words of Jesus. If the man throw stone, go to the next shrine. So what am I talking about? He said, if you are persecuted in one city, flee to the next. Not as if Jesus was angry or was afraid. He just simply reasoned that, and that's what he said. There are so many cities to go to. Deliverers are not enough. Why waste time on the man who is persecuting you? No, it's simple economics. Are you getting my point? That's what he was doing. It's business planning. Business planning. Jesus watched it. Laborers, the harvest is... The laborers are what? Why should the few laborers be wasting time on the harvest field that doesn't want to be harvested? So he said to them simply, if the harvest is being a bit tough, you go there, you shake the tree. In 1:4, leave it first. It never ripe, rich. That is not yet ripe enough. He said, there's a time those people will say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. See, they haven't said it yet. They are still pursuing. Leave them. Leave them. Go to the next place. Not as if he's angry. You must understand the principle. It's simple economics. How can I be wasting? It's Pareto principle. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Jesus knew all these things. All these things, in fact, he was practicing long ago. So if the Babala wants to stone you, you shouldn't come to the shrine. You know what you do? Give him space. That's what I'm trying to explain. As you are leaving, pray for him. He can't stone the man praying, can he? He can't see you now. You stay behind one tree, even down to his shrine. Let the gospel of Jesus penetrate. Meanwhile, let me go somewhere else where they are not doing any stoning. It may sound funny, but what I've said is a matter of fact. The point I'm trying to emphasize is that Christians often neglect that prayer part first. They want to use zeal to go in. You can do the praying and somebody else do the going. You can do the praying and somebody else does the going. What I'm teaching is don't forget to do the praying. So remember, that's the first thing everybody needs. Your village needs it. Our state needs it. The nation needs it. That's the first thing that we need. Number two, as we're asking God for his blessings upon the land, after that gospel, you ask God for his blessings upon the land, and you also ask that he should release his hand and judge evil in the land. Listen, God does not pour a blessing on people that don't repent. His first blessing on people who are doing wickedly is correction. That's it. God will never bless your mistakes directly. It's only after you have repented that he can make it appear as if you did not make a mistake. What he does is to correct people. You cannot tell him not to judge iniquity in the land. If you don't tell him to judge it, the blessing you have prayed for will have no place to be planted. And remember, do you have to feel, I'm feeling angry today? You don't have to feel angry today. It is just that the Lord saw injustice and he was displeased. And you know. So you know if you see injustice, God is not pleased. And what scripture did you read that time? Let's read it again. Psalm what? Psalm 45. Thank you for reminding me. Psalm 45. The main thing I'm trying to say today is, as we're executing this assignment of praying, if a burden comes upon you, such that the thing grips you, like one brother said those days, it grips you so much your stomach tightens. And instead of praying in English, you are groaning. Have you ever seen people groan? Yeah. Yes. Some groan, they say it's a habit, you must groan. After you have done intercession and prayers, you now do what? Groaning. Say, brethren, it is time to groan. So this guy laughing. Why are you laughing now? If you don't like to groan, leave those who want to groan. Some people like to groan. I don't think it's bad. But I have seen genuine groaning. You know, genuine. It's just burden. A burden in your heart, and it just comes. Can't say that this is just a burden. And even though you don't have words to use, sometimes the Holy Spirit is actually still saying something through little words that are coming out of your mouth. That happens. These are spiritual manifestations. Okay, I'm not making light of it. I'm just trying to bring out an issue. It's not compulsory. That's what I'm saying. If groaning comes to your heart, go ahead, brother, groan. Go ahead, sister, do what? Groan. I actually don't recommend you just groan like, it's time to groan. Let's begin to groan. One more time. You get a CB. Are you getting my point? Are you getting my point? Yes. Even though you don't have it, one thing that works all the time, that's why I'm doing all of these things, is to take the word of God and just, let me put it like this, just read it out. Yes. Christians must learn how to do what? Read things out. Just take the word of God and what? Read it out. Just read it out. What do I mean? Let's go back to that Psalm 45 again. From verse 1, it says, my heart overflows with a good thing. I address my verses to the king. My tongue is a pen of a ready writer. Notice that I address my verses to the king. How do I write? I use my tongue to write to the king. And what do I say to him? Let's start from verse 3. It says, let's continue from verse 3. It says, guard your sword on your thigh, O mighty one, in your splendor and your majesty. He said in verse 4, and your majesty ride on victoriously for the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness. Let your right hand teach you awesome things. Or like one version says, let your right hand show awesome things. That is, do awesome things. He said, your arrows are sharp. The people fall under you. Those are the awesome things that the right hand of God will do. Your arrows are in the heart of the king's enemies. The king here being the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. He said, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy above your fellows. Now, let me stop here. Now, the most important verse we took from here last time, which I want to repeat again, is that he said, guard your sword on your thigh, O mighty one. He said, in your majesty, ride on victoriously for the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness. Let your right hand demonstrate awesome things. Let your right hand do execute the judgment of God. Listen, you say that you're not calling anybody's name. You hear what I said? You are not calling anybody's name. But one thing I understand, there was a time, I keep on forgetting which one of them now. Was it Ezekiel or Jeremiah? One of them began to prophesy. If you need prophesy, somebody collapsed and died. And he did not mention the fellow's name. He didn't see anything. He didn't say, this is what people are doing. Just watch, oh, God will judge. I am going to pray about you people. All of you are going down one by one. He didn't say that. The man just came to the temple. Thus says the Lord, it shall come to pass. And he was just narrating and talking and talking. And as he was about to go, boom, one big man fell there and died. Even he was alarmed. He was not expecting the man to die. Are you getting the point I'm making? What I'm trying to say here is this. When we offer the word of God up like that, then he starts doing awesome things. I was saying to you earlier, we all assume that in a nation like this, the power of incumbency, you can't remove the sitting president. It's a lie. Am I saying this president is not coming back? I'm not talk so. I better go. I just preached my gospel. You get my point? I didn't mention anybody's name. But what I am going to say is simple. When I want to pray, I'm going to say to the Lord in simple terms. All right? Elevate the righteous, using Derek Prince's words now, and bring down the wicked. Let those who will not promote truth and support judgment against wickedness, let them be removed. And let righteousness be exalted. In our government, let righteousness be exalted. Nobody's name is being mentioned. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. But as you are declaring that, of course, this is Nigeria. You know the political parties. You are thinking about the electoral process. You are thinking about governance. You are thinking about everything that has to do with rulership in Nigeria. And you continue to declare those words. Elevate the righteous, bring down the wicked. Anyone who will not support the defense of truth, who will promote iniquity, who will promote wickedness, bring him down. Elevate those who will support this word that we have just read here. As the Lord is riding on victoriously for the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness, Lord, judge your enemies. Who are the enemies? Those who are not flowing with him. I don't know whether I get my point. When it comes to that political office, God's enemies are not Muslims. Are you hearing what I say? No. You see, you must understand, things are judged in context. When it comes to political office, it is not God say, everyone who is not a Christian is my enemy. Lie. In fact, in today's Nigeria, the proportion of Olis, you know what they call Oli? It's about the same amongst those who claim to be, now I'm not saying true Christians, those who claim to be Christians and those who think they are Muslims, all of them put together, I think it's about the same proportion. So don't worry about that, all right? That's not, God is not deciding. If you are not going to one of my churches, some of those going to those churches, I fear for them, all right? Jesus doesn't know them. You know, Jesus doesn't go to church. How many of you know that? He doesn't go to church, all right? He really doesn't, all right? When he wants to judge people, he goes to where? Their homes, their offices. As they are walking on the road, that is where he goes to check whether you are a real Christian or you are not. He doesn't go to church. He knows your tithe is complete. He knows. The only person who is checking it, in case you did not know, should I tell you? Your pastor. The church elders are the only people counting your tithe. God does not. Let nobody lie to you that that's why he's prospering you. It's a lie. What did I say? What am I trying to say? That is not how he checks whether you're a true Christian. If he wants to check whether you're a true Christian, you know where he goes? Your office. That is where he goes. That is where he goes. That place where you live your daily life, where you do your daily business, that is where he goes to check whether you're a true Christian. So let's leave that. Let me quickly drop that one for politics. For that reason, I forbid you as a believer, if you are listening to this, to go and gather around people and say, this one is a Christian, let's vote for him. Forget that one. Vote based on your convictions. If your conviction includes the fact that he's a good man, are you getting my point? Vote for him. That time when Brother Tunde Bakare was contesting as a vice president, that time I was contesting, I made up my mind I won't vote for him. If he was the presidential candidate, even if I didn't want to vote before, that day I will go and vote just so I can vote against him. Say, Brother Tunde, you will not get this vote. I, Banky, will not vote for you. Go to church and go and prophesy. It's my opinion. If Buba Marwa had contested, is a presidential candidate, Brother Tunde Bakare, on the other side, Colonel Buba Marwa or General Buba Bambara retired, I, Banky, would have gone and voted for Buba Marwa, Brigadier General, retired. Barrister, Reverend Pastor, Tunde Bakare, lie. Why? It's my conviction. I just feel that, Pastor, please go back to church and go and do what? Prophesy. Now, did you notice? It's what? My conviction. Am I correct? Yes. As far as my vote is concerned. As far as your vote is concerned, I may be wrong. I think Christians should be able to disagree on candidates and say, come to church and agree. I don't know whether you get my point. We should be able to sit down, pray in agreement, and God will hear our prayers prayed in agreement, yet we'll go to vote, we'll vote for different people. Because our prayer didn't mention any names. Did it mention names? We both agreed that God should fight those who are fighting him. Is that not so? Let the king's arrows be in the heart of his enemies. We all agree. It is your problem if you decide you want to be God's enemy or God's friend. That's our prayer. Then when it comes to candidates, we now start selecting candidates as we like. If you are the type that say that, I don't like tall candidates. These tall people, I don't think they are very honest. It's your problem. Are you getting my point? I want to say, any candidate that smiles too much, be suspicious. Be suspicious. So, one will not vote for Buhari because he's too tall. The other one will see Donald Duke and what is his name? What name? That Benga Daniel. And say, no, I won't vote for them. All this smile that they are smiling is not honest. These are all the things God adds together to bring out his winner. He knows somebody will vote for one reason, and that is not affected by prayer at all. What I mean there is, whether you vote for this person, a preacher can pray hard and vote for a particular candidate, and that one loses because his prayer does not reveal to him who to vote for. The will of God will still be done if we pray effectively. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. That's why I said that prayer, it's very simple. Once there's one man of God, I won't mention his name. He's an American preacher. I used to follow his message all the time. In fact, I joined his mailing group. So one day, he was always campaigning for the Republicans. You know Republicans? Yes, in America. Because the Democrats are devils. Republicans are conservative and supposedly good people. But you know the truth? The iniquity in America is shared into two. Half, you know, the iniquity of Sodom and Gomorrah is shared into two. Half is done by Democrats. The other half is done by Republicans. Homosexuality, immorality, all of that is done by Democrats. Not caring for the poor is done by Republicans. Those sins are joined together in Sodom and Gomorrah. So this brother will come. He was always campaigning. In fact, when I read his sermons, he's attacking Obama. He supports gun. He's against gun control. He will fight Obama for supporting. Now, all of you know I don't like Obama. Now, please, I'm bringing an issue. Even though I don't personally agree with him, I was very angry with this man of God who was always coming. You are sending. Imagine you get Pastor Banky's mails, and I'm analyzing Good Lord Jonathan. That why should the wife be telling us that they are sharing blood? What does that mean? You know, those kind of things. You know, after I read that a number of times, that man used to do it, I deleted myself from his mailing group. I sent him a mail, very respectful mail. I explained my reasons. I said, please, sir, you are a man of God. This is not part of your duties. Because that's all he used to do. He started campaigning for Mitt Romney. Because that was the president that won the Republican primaries. But the man is not a Christian. He's a Mormon. But that's how where he carried it to. And those are the things that Christians should be careful of. You can come to church and half of you are in APC. The other half are in PDP. And the rest. But whatever it is, we can come to... No, really, I'm very serious. We can be in the same church and belong to different parties. Because it's a matter of personal persuasion about some things. But we can be united in the fact that the arrows of God are in the heart of his enemies. We can be united in the fact that God will judge iniquity in the land. We can be united in the fact that God will elevate the righteous and bring down the wicked. We can be united in the fact that prosperity must come to the land and judgment will come with it so that prosperity will have where to be planted. We can be united in all of those things. That's why. I was fellowship president on campus when they were doing SU election once. One man came and said, you know, they started networking, started speaking Christianese. Someone stopped me on the road. He said, we need to take this thing away from unbelievers. I didn't believe him. I didn't believe him. I refused to campaign for it. I didn't go to fellowship. I said, this guy is a brother. He's a brother. You should vote for him. I refused to do that. Go and campaign normally. Come back to church. We pray normally. For your information, if you're a presidential candidate, and Israel decides to contest now, all right, for presidency, and then Yinka decides that he's going to be setting president. Do you understand? Everybody agrees, all right, that they are going to politics. When we enter the office and we are gisting, we'll discuss. But when I enter here, if I will vote against your party if I don't like your party, and I'll say, ask you, Israel, have they gotten our messages? You and I are preaching the message, but I'm not voting for your party. In fact, you'll be surprised behind. I'll just be saying, tell my wife, I don't know why Israel is contesting. Let's go and vote against him. Let this man miss the will of God for his life. I won't say it in your face. I won't say it. How is it going? Pastor, please pray. Kneel down. Father, in his life, all the enemies of the progress you ordained for him. Did you see the way I just went to be around the political ambition? In the name of Jesus, let them be scattered. Let him follow the will of God. Let your righteousness be exalted in his life. In the name of Jesus. Baby, don't vote for him. But the prayer will still work. The enemy of confusion that sent him into politics, if he was not ordained, he will leave the place. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Please, I hope you have followed me today. I hope you followed me today. What is the summary of what I've said? Let me just say it in 1 minute and then we'll close. And that is the fact that our prayer is just about elevating the word of God. Understanding the desire of God for a nation and just uttering those desires. If we feel like groaning, feel free. Groaning is free. Nobody charges for it. If you don't feel like groaning, don't worry about it. Take that portion of the scriptures and just read that portion out. Just declare it simply. The time has come for you, Lord, to favor us. In the name of Jesus, bring into office those who will liberate your people the way Cyrus liberated the people of Israel. In the name of Jesus Christ. Simple. And you declare that all the time. And I'm asking you, start declaring that from now. If your brother, that is when I say brother, same father, same mother, born 2 years apart, is contesting an election, I forbid you to pray that he should win. Pray for his safety. The thugs won't kill him. Amen. Those who don't like him won't get him. Amen. But you cannot demand of God that he should win. You can't. It's democracy. Vote for him if you support him. But when you want to pray, your prayers must not deviate. One of the reasons why our prayers don't work in Christianity is our prayers are sectarian, they are tribalistic, you understand? They are based on anger. So we pray for elections and God doesn't hear. He doesn't hear. He doesn't hear. That's the reason why he does not hear. Because we are not praying his will. We are praying those desires that we have born out of our own prejudices. If we pray the right prayers, God will move in the land. There's no guarantee our current guy is going to win the next. In fact, even PDP primary itself, he may not win. You know why? PDP or Good Luck Jonathan does not rule in the affairs of man. It is heaven that rules. So unless we know what heaven is saying, there's no guarantee. I hope you've got my point. I hope you've got my point. I think we've summarized it now. We know how to pray for the nation. Let's now begin to use this. Remember, we are not just here to pray. We are here to learn to pray. And this series, I'm happy. I feel like it's done. You get my point? I feel like I've spoken everything that I have to say in this season concerning praying for a nation. Let's just rise to our feet and just give the Lord thanks. Let us close. Everybody, quickly open your Bibles to that Psalm 45. Let's read it for our country. First of all, let's just give God thanks. First of all, thank God. Say, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus because I am important in your plan for this earth. Thank you, Lord, because my words are important. Therefore, everybody, let's read from that verse, from verse 1, Psalm 45. It says, my heart overflows with a good thing. I address my verses to the king, that my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Now, please just repeat after me from verse 3. Guard your sword on your thigh, O mighty one. Guard your sword on your thigh, O mighty one. In your splendor and in your majesty. He said, in your majesty, ride on victoriously. For the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness. Let your right hand do terrible things. If you have King James, that's the word he uses. Let your right hand do awesome things. Say in your victorious riding, judge iniquity, defend the weak, elevate the righteous, bring down the wicked. In the name of Jesus. Concerning Nigeria, we pray. Say that. Elevate the righteous, bring down the wicked. In top government positions, we ask.
In top government positions,
we ask.
Elevate the righteous.
Bring down the wicked.
Now,
let's pray concerning the next election, because we talked about it briefly. Say, Lord, concerning the next election,
elevate the righteous.
Bring down the wicked.
Now,
that in that statement, all we are saying is this. Anyone that we agree with the plan of God to judge iniquity, be very important. Who will look at iniquity and fight it? Who will look at corruption and fight it? Who will look at everything that is wrong in the society and fight it? Who will promote righteousness? Who will promote truth? Who will give freedom, you know, to the spread of the gospel? Who will allow justice to be entrenched in the land? That is the person we are calling righteous. We're not saying he went to church. It's in context. It's in context. In this context, that's what it means. When we say wicked, is a person who will do the opposite. So let's say one more time. Say, Lord, elevate the righteous.
Bring down the wicked.
Judge iniquity in the land.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
One more prayer. Let's pray. Say, into every corner of this nation,
send your laborers.
Anoint them
with power
to speak boldly.
Lord, as they stretch forth their hands,
heal the sick.
Deliver the oppressed.
Raise the dead.
In the name of Jesus.
Let your gospel comfort with power.
Let your gospel comfort with power.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Say, we pray for this nation.
Into every corner.
The light of Jesus will shine.
The light of Jesus will shine.
Say, Lord, send laborers into the harvest field.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Let's just give the Lord and say, Father, we thank you because you have heard us.
This is the confidence we have towards you. When we ask anything according to your will, you hear us.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Quick, let's share the grace in fellowship. Time is gone. Let's share the grace in fellowship. One, two, go.
Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above in Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. One more time. This is my season of fruitfulness.